Good afternoon, Schreiber High School. You are listening to the afternoon debate on the SAT with me, Francesca Arafakis, Sydney Mott.
Hi.
Brett Tickton.
Hello, everyone.
Zimmelman.
What's up?
And Chris Zepeda.
What's up, everyone?
So we're going to start out our intro on the history of the SAT that Sydney will administer to us in just a moment.
An SAT.
Describing what this purpose was originally for, this descriptive and difficult test. Go ahead, Sydney, enlighten us, if
That's
you
right.
would.
I have a blurb here that I'm going to read now. During the First World War, Robert Yerkes, a leading member of the new IQ testing movement, persuaded the U.S. Army to let him test all recruits for intelligence. Yerkes' assistant began administering experimentally to a few thousand college applicants in 1926. When the dean of Harvard needed a way to grade applicants, the SAT was recommended by this assistant. The dean liked the test since he thought it measured pure intelligence, regardless of the quality of the talker's high school education. Excuse me. In 1938, the College Board was talked into using SAT as a uniform exam, and by 1948, the test became the widespread admissions device that it is today. I don't see what the debate is. The SAT is perfect.
All right. Well, starting from that, I just want to bring up the topic of that into college applications, because it said it tests normal intelligence, correct?
That's right.
Just basic intelligence. Well, the SAT, according to the College Board as well, they test the things you learn in school, basic things you learn in school, which are not no specific subjects. It's just reading, writing, and math, and your reasoning in that. So there are no specific things you need to study for it. It's all in how you interpret it.
Excuse me, Arafakis. But if I may say that IQ correlates with grades earned in school, therefore, it is fair.
Well, if I can make a rebuttal right now, sometimes with the SAT scores, some students who tend to do better in school can have difficulty doing the SAT test. Like, say, a student who's averaging around a 3.1 GPA, they can take the SAT and find themselves getting below average score, like around the 14 or 1300s. Should that be... And when a college sees that, they might be thinking that maybe they might be judging whether or not this applicant would be approved or not into their college.
Look, they have to test in college. If you can't perform on the SAT, then the college has to know that.
Well, Mott, I really don't agree with you because...
Why is that, Tickton?
Because I didn't take the SAT, and I'm a senior, and, well, I'm not good at math. But that shouldn't make me not go into college, yet that's the reason why I would fail the SAT.
However, colleges don't only take your SAT score. They look at everything else that you take. For example, your recommendations, your grade point average. So they do take that into account, even when you're taking the exam. And your extracurricular activities. They look at the entire person. The SAT just helps, according as well to the College Board, that it helps colleges get to know you better and how you would improve in certain subjects. It helps them understand what level you would be to higher education.
Basically, it's a holistic process.
It's a mechanical process to find out who should go in and who should stay home.
Well,
but it's not fair.
Well, I think Tig is going to try to explain, is that with the SAT, there can also be a bias from it. I'll give you an example. Yes, the SAT is, and the answers are analyzed by computers, but teachers from different states all over the country make the questions for the test. And sometimes during this, there can be a particular state that can have a certain type of population that, and when they make the questions on the SAT, it can reflect the teacher's particular style from how they teach. Could that or could that not lead to a biasness on the test?
No, because these questions are coming from all over. So if you're a coaster and you have a question on the coasts versus the middle of the country, then it'll balance out. Everyone has their own bias.
Well, what about different cultures? I mean, you take a look at the SATs. Sometimes students from some minority students who are taking it don't fully comprehend the certain part of the reading subjects for the test, because it relates to something that they don't really know culturally. culturally. Couldn't that also be go against them?
Look, we all live in America, all right? We all have to learn about America's culture.
Yes, but some students have reading difficulties, and also, if you may be a good reader. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, you may be a good reader, but you may have a passage in there that will only give you part of the information or not enough information to answer the question.
Look, I feel like we're talking about details here. It's the entire test. If one passage messes you up, that shouldn't affect the entire test.
Well, I feel that relates to, like, every part of the test. There are details, and depending on how you did in school, and let's say you did very well, you could not be a good test taker, and you could fail the test based on your, you know, your anxiety.
How did you do so well in school if you're not a good test taker?
Because maybe you handed in all your
work. Well, listen, the SAT test, it's not just from what you've learned in school. The SAT test, it wants to make sure that you don't use what it's subjects that you're related to in school, but they don't want you to solve the problems the way you would in school. They want you to solve it in the way they want you to solve it. They have a specific system of solving these problems in order to help you get a high score.
Exactly, and it's your job to study those methods so that you can get a good score.
Yeah, but okay, let me ask you this. On the SAT test, there are usually 10 parts to the test. Sometimes, with this, in order to make it even with the three different subjects, and so they have to separate it into 9 parts, they usually take out one of the sections of the test.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you do well on the section that gets taken out? That will affect your score in a negative way.
Luck of the draw.
And also, how are you going to study a test that is really, like, has high security on it? Like, there's no way of knowing what parts are taken out or what new stuff is going to be added.
Well, that's why you study for the test. You have these,
you have study material.
You have help for it, and you realize that, look, everything that you learn throughout the years is probably going to be used for this test. So you should know what is not going to be needed. And plus, you have 3 subjects in math, writing, and reading. Am I correct with that, sir?
Yes, that's
so correct. So you should know, you should learn to utilize those 3 subjects,
yeah,
and learn them in order for you to succeed in this test, because it does ask for those 3 subjects, so it's not asking for more than those.
Yes, but the certain specifics of those subjects relate to topics learned from middle school to, like, about 10th grade ending with geometry. No one is really going to be able to remember from what they've learned in middle school and parts of their freshman and sophomore year, which is why they have special programs. And with these special programs, I also think there's a little bit of a discriminatory factor in them, because there are some people who can't afford these tests, who can't afford to have the Princeton Review courses or the College Board Review courses, and they cost over $500. So there are certain families who can't afford that. And so wouldn't it go against them when they take the test, knowing that they have a disadvantage to some of the more
you don't need a review course to review. You buy a book, it's like $20, $30, and you review at home with the
test. Yeah, but they have the advantage of having someone specifically analyze it and help you makes it easier to understand. They're going to have to look at this. Some of them may not even be able to comprehend it, and they just look at it by themselves. It's going to cause them problems when they take the test. They're not going to know what to do.
Well, excuse me, Zimmelman, for 1 second while I read you a statistic that says that preparatory classes only help each section by about 20 points.
Plus, as well, the College Board creates these books that help the students, and they give them tips on what to do that could help them do well. The people who create the test make these books that cost, like Sydney said, around $20 to help them, which are offered. As well, with the financial factor, many students who are considered not who qualify for this have waivers for the test and are allowed to take 2 tests with the fee waived. So that gives them the chance to take it one time, understand what they did, and then take it again. So, yes, not everybody can afford the courses, but that doesn't mean necessarily that they're needed. Just like Sydney said, it only helps them with 20 points, which isn't a huge factor. Because when the College Board scores these tests, they're scored in a range. by 40 points above and 40 points below. So that is under the amount of points that are needed.
Yeah, but you take a look at the review courses. Not only do they simplify this stuff for you, they also teach you some of the techniques that aren't even offered in the review books.
Yeah,
they allow a teacher... A teacher can help with a teacher allowing them to go over the subject weekly and get all the different different types of materials in order to improve on the test. If you don't have that, you got to go out and spend your money on more and more books. That can be costly to some families.
I feel like we're arguing about very little things. These are 10 to 20 point differences. You're talking about these suggestions that teachers give. You're either smart or you're not, and your score is almost fixed.
Yeah,
10
to 20 points.
Yeah, but
what source is that from?
The internet, which is always right.
No, the internet is not always
well,
right.
Well, sometimes...
Well, I need to say something. What if, I understand the fee is waived and whatever, but it is true. Some students do have advantages, and it's an advantage. It doesn't mean it's 20 points or above, you know? It still's an advantage, and it still has a curve over some other people, you know?
But, Brett, you can take the... You can't really say that's an advantage, because, look... There's other ways those students who don't have that, they can get a way to get help from other people who's taken the test, who's know the past of this test. They can ask their own teachers. They don't have to pay these extravagant costs for these, and yet the teachers can help them.
You can ask whoever you want. You can ask
a
teacher, you can ask
a
friend.
That's why you don't have to...
But the fact remains that the test changes a lot.
Yeah, but you understand that...
You understand the basic background of the concept.
The test does not change that much. It's been the same since the 70s. They literally don't change anything. The format's the same.
The format may be the same, but there are minute changes.
Yeah, but those minute changes won't dictate how your grades will be. They'll just, like as you said, they'll be a little bit of a differential to your grades. They're not going to cause so much of it. It's going to be all right if you just understand what the concept of this test is going to be like first.
Also, with the test, again, you have the option of choosing, most of the time, of choosing which scores you want to send in. So, like you were saying before, how some sections may be taken out, your higher scores on the sections that you are good at, you can send in to colleges and show your potential for each of those parts. Plus... Again, with the scoring, it's scored knowing that you could possibly have gotten points higher or lower each time. And also, your scores are compared to everyone's in the entire country who have been taking it the entire year. So it's not... So this each year, your scores are fair, and they're based on how well all the other students have done.
Francesca, you bring up an interesting point that I'd like to further delve into. That I feel like we're kind of missing the big picture here. The SAT is a test... A blanket test that studies how every individual across the country, regardless of wealth, regardless of social status, or where they live, or race, and everyone gets a score. And that's how colleges can fairly tell the differences between applicants.
Well, yep. it may be fair for the college, but I don't think it's fair for the, the person. And also, it's just really, really hard... you have a number, you're looking at that number, and you haven't even met the person yet.
Tipton,
you know?
How do you expect a college to compare you and Hodunk McGee in Iowa?
Wait, hold on. I just want to talk to you about what the similar topic for the statement you just said. Each time you take a look at the SAT scores, there are students all over the country who may have similar scores, but also sometimes there are students who do poorly on the SAT. And then certain colleges take students that did, even though they did poorly on the SAT, sometimes they do it based on the fact that even though their grades are, that they still have good grades. So the SAT, really, if it's a part of a whole system that everyone gets that helps with the college application, taking that part out, how much of that is really going to change?
And also going on, some colleges now allow you to just, you don't need to take an essay on for that. Nassau County College is one of them.
Okay, that's good for them. Each college can make the decision whether the SAT is important or not, but it should definitely exist because, like you were saying...
It is an option, but there are other options, and I think the other options are fair. Again, this has been around since the 20s.
There's no other way to measure every other student across the country fairly.
You can be an amazing...
It's been around since the 20s, so I think we found a better way.
Also, when you take the test, yes, everything else is still measured even when you take the test. Again, remember the SAT is not the only thing they base things on. However, it does help and show how much... For example, if you have two students who have similar GPA, both very involved in schools and have great recommendations, you need something, and you have limited spots. The SAT helps in that. Say if one person took it, the other person didn't. It just shows that the other person is more willing to try and attempt to do well in college and take and challenge themselves more to other colleges.
It's a measure
and
of
also,
effort.
Also, the other student who did higher may just get
Francesca, let me stop you there. You said the word try. What if the student that fail, even though they have tight spaces, what if they both have extracurricular activities, they both have good grades, they have excellent recommendations, and yet the other student, one student got in, one student didn't get in. Let's say that student that didn't get in tried his best and her best.
His best isn't good enough then.
Yeah, but you take a look at this. With the SATs, students who are very similar, but they try to compete with SAT scores, it develops a very unhealthy sense of competition amongst the students. Students tend to have strict studying schedules in order to do better. They have multiple classes. It causes a lot of unhealthy competition amongst the students. Plus, not only that, with federal funds, they tend to give more money to schools that are doing better than others. This also not only creates an unhealthy competition between students at the schools, but the schools all over the country.
And also, I think that the SAT, I mean, it's built in to when you enter middle school, you start hearing about it. I didn't hear about the SAT until I started entering middle school, and even more about it when I entered high school. And, you know, it's really, like, you need to take it, you need to take it, you need to take it, you know, it's drilled in. And, you know, it creates the stress and anxiety to compete with other students.
Look,
that,
the
you know,
world is stressful, and you will become anxious. That's what the job market is. You're competing with other people. This is just preparing us for our lives.
Also, according to CNBC, the job competition has been rising to 9 people per opening per year. That is a lot more competition than it used to be. A long time ago, it was easier to get jobs. Now that you need to be more competitive. Again, now, when a couple years ago, a high school diploma was enough for you to get a job. Now you need at least a 4-year college degree.
Yeah.
My parents, for example, not all of them have higher education that many of the other students can be getting right now. I'm not saying that you need to you need to be more stressed, but it does help you in being competitive early on, so you understand what you need to do to be ready and prepared for the world ahead of you.
Just like Francesca said, you need a little competition in life. Even if it's not healthy, but you need it in order to succeed in life. Because without competition, you just have a free, open space area where there's nothing and it's just chaos. If you have competition, you know that you have to try your hardest, and that's why the SAT is built for that. It makes you try harder on your own test grades, make you force yourself to learn what can I do and what can't I do.
All
and
right,
that helps you out.
Yeah, but you say you can't.
Well, let me ask you something about, like, with student, what you're saying with the effort and trying. A lot of the times, many people who try to practice for the SAT by doing all these review courses and stuff have to spend a lot of time doing this, and many of them take all these different courses, it takes away their time from their activities or community services, which makes it even harder for probably the schools to decide when it comes to the application process because they're going to spend so much time studying for the SAT and they forget about everything else, including their schoolwork.
That student has to learn how to manage their time.
Well, we're approaching towards the end of the debate. We're in our last couple seconds here. And I just wanted to bring up this last thing, which was a survey I took last week, which showed that it was actually debated 50-50. 50% of students said it was beneficial, 50 said not, as well as 50% said it was discriminatory, while others said it was not. So I'd just like to say thank you for listening to our debate. we hope that you have a better understanding of what your opinion is on the SAT.
Have a sat-tastic day.
And, yes, thank you, Sydney.
I'll read the disclaimer, too.
The program you're listening to may contain language or material that could be considered offensive. The views expressed are those of the DJ and not WDUT. Or...